Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. There's a fast-growing part of the cannabis industry that doesn't involve marijuana, and it doesn't get you high. CBD is popping up on shelves all across central and northern Wisconsin in oil, extract, vaporized liquid, and capsule form. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Under the 2018 Farm Bill, hemp's legal definition was changed to be a separate substance from marijuana. Hemp is defined as any cannabis plant or derivative with 0.3% or less THC content. President Donald Trump signed the bill into law in December 2018. That action essentially decriminalized hemp and CBD at the federal level, opening the floodgates for CBD producers, suppliers, and users who say the product can treat pain, anxiety, and other health issues without the side effects. Joining me today is Bonnie Hastings of the Wausau Wellness Center. Later in the program, Melissa Moore, Alcohol and Other Drugs Partnership Coordinator for Marathon County's Drug-Free Communities Program, will be in the studio. In full disclosure, I must tell you, I am a member of the Marathon County AOD Partnership Board. We'll also hear comments today from Mayo Clinic Research Director Dr. Brent Bauer and Republican State Senator Pat Teston that they offered on the issue in a recent Wisconsin Public Radio interview. Republican State Representative Pat Snyder from Schofield, who co-sponsored Wisconsin's Right to Try legislation in 2018, will also weigh in on the regulatory aspects of CBD and the impact on the ongoing conversation about medical marijuana in Wisconsin. As always, we'd love to take your calls and questions, too. Join the conversation by calling us at 800-780-9742. Bonnie, welcome to Route 51. So glad to have you here.
Thank you, Shereen. Good to be here.
You are co-owner of Wausau Wellness Center. Dr. Betty Ann Peters practices naturopathic medicine there. Let's start by explaining what CBD actually is.
Okay. CBD is an isolate from the hemp plant. Not exclusively. Other plants do have CBD as well. But I think what you're asking is, what is it that people are using? There's full-spectrum hemp extract, which is not an isolate. There's over 100 different phytocannabinoids that have been discovered, and that is contained in full-spectrum hemp extract. Anyone with a job that requires drug testing, however, should not take full-spectrum. It contains less than 0.3% THC, but you can fail a drug test. Think presence of THC versus quantity in your system.
Okay.
That's where the CBD isolate shines. You want to make sure you get a brand that guarantees 100% THC-free and has third-party independent verified lab results or non-hemp-derived CBD. There are CBD isolates that are not 100% guaranteed to be THC-free also. So you want to be careful.
Okay. So does it just come in oil? I mean, what other forms are we finding CBD products?
There's dog treats, tea, gummies, liquid capsules.
I saw some CBD-infused alcoholic beverages at a couple of local restaurants even.
We don't sell that at our store.
No, but I've seen it. Yes.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, interesting. So even for dogs?
Yes.
Okay.
There's treats.
Okay. So from a technical standpoint then, how does CBD work? How does it work on the system?
Well, it works on our endocannabinoid system.
What's that?
Our endocannabinoid system is made up of receptors on our cell membranes, and it regulates many of our processes like eating, sleeping, relaxation, and cognition. It also helps with our body's overall recovery and repair. The understanding of our endocannabinoid system is relatively new, but it's been evolving over the last 25-ish years. We have CB1 and CB2 receptors. CB1 is located in the peripheral and central nervous system and involved with brain responses like memory, anxiety, and fear. CB2 is believed to be mainly located in the immune system, the gastrointestinal system, and the peripheral nervous system. So immune, digestion, bone, skin.
Okay.
We naturally produce our own endocannabinoids, but
okay.
things like stress, eating lots of processed foods, not enough omega-3 fatty acids, chronic illness, mm-hmm. sleeplessness, that can deplete our natural resources, which is where supplementing
okay.
helps.
I see. Okay. I'd like to play a clip from an earlier Wisconsin Public Radio interview with State Senator Pat Tasten. He is a Republican from Stevens Point who worked on the bill that reintroduced hemp to Wisconsin. Here he talks about the popularity of CBD and why he started using it himself.
Well, I think a lot of it is generated from a lot of individuals trying to find safer alternatives to things like opioids. Our farmers are interested in trying to diversify their portfolios when we're in a five-year low of a farm economy. And really, this is an opportunity for us to grow a new industry here in the state of Wisconsin. We would not have hemp in the state if it weren't for the 2014 federal farm bill that was passed by Congress, signed into law by President Obama, which opened it up to the states. And so when I was approached last session by State Representative J.C. Kramer to be the lead author on it, although I was skeptical at first because I didn't do my homework, I realized that there are so many different applications for hemp here in the state of Wisconsin, and CBD being one of those. And I myself am a CBD user. I've been using it now for about 6 months. I originally got CBD to help with arthritis in my lower back from powerlifting, but now I've been taking it before bed, and I've never slept better. And so you're seeing a lot of interest, and you've seen a lot of new businesses start up all across the state because there is such a huge interest and demand for a safe legal product that is CBD.
Okay, that was Senator Pat Tasten, the Republican from Stevens Point, talking about his own use of CBD. That was from an earlier Wisconsin Public Radio interview. He talked about the way CBD helped his pain and helped him to sleep. I do want to remind our listeners, you can certainly join the conversation. If you've used it, you have a question about CBD, give us a call, 800-780-9742. Bonnie, you heard that. What other kinds of health issues are people using CBD for? He talked about his back. He talked about sleep. But what are you hearing? What are people using it for?
Well, I want to make sure that everybody knows I'm not a doctor and yes. I'm not making medical claims. I can tell you that customers with aches and pains, anxiety, sleeplessness, focus issues, all different types of ailments have been repeat customers.
Okay.
For hemp and CBD.
Okay. And I know that some people are kind of seeing CBD as this cure-all for everything, from anxiety and dogs and pain management. But it sounds like it really needs to take a more personal – you need to take a more personal approach to that.
Everybody's different. And different dosages seem to work for different people. So you really kind of have to try it out and see what works for you. Okay. There are a lot of very good studies if people are interested on PubMed. There's over 6,000 studies on what people are using it for and what's worked according to these studies if people want to go there.
Sure. It's interesting. The studies, I'm hearing that, scientists are saying that they really would like to have more research on this issue. Obviously, there is quite a bit of research ongoing.
Yes.
We did not talk with Brent Bauer, but in an earlier interview on Wisconsin Public Radio, Mayo Clinic Director of Research, Dr. Brent Bauer, did discuss the research issue. I'll play a clip from his interview now. Here's what he had to say.
There's some what we call case reports where physicians or researchers have published accounts of one or two or five or 10 patients who took CBD or a CBD product and reported some improvement in anxiety, pain, sleep disorders, and so forth. So there's a lot of interest from those preliminary studies, but what we're right now lacking are the large-scale trials where we can really start to answer the question of where is the efficacy and also where are the risks and adverse effects.
So, Monty, do you think further research is really called for? Would that help make it easier for, say, Dr. Peters at your facility? Would it make it easier for doctors to make those recommendations for patients?
Some doctors are referring their patients to mm-hmm. come in and get it. Certain specific brands, some doctors, we've heard from our customers. Studies are important. However, there's just like with a lot of supplements, there's not a lot of money in it. Mm-hmm. So it need somebody else would need to fund that because companies don't want to do the research if they can't make money off of it. So pharmaceutical companies that have patents on the isolate or certain combinations, they have the incentive to do the studies. Otherwise, it's mostly schools and...
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know the Food and Drug Administration doesn't currently regulate supplements. CBD falls into that category largely at this point. Do you think some of the concern about CBD could be mitigated through regulation either at the state or federal level?
Can you rephrase that?
Sure. Do you think that – would you like to see more regulation? Do you think that would make people more confident in what they're purchasing?
Well, I think what people need to do to be confident is look for brands that have gone the extra mile and have third-party independent lab results. You can get the certificate of analysis on request. It tests for potency, purity, heavy metals, CBD, and THC levels to make sure that you're getting what it says you're getting. And that's very important because hemp can pull heavy metals out of the ground if it's grown in contaminated soils. Mm-hmm. So that is very important. The U.S. Hemp Authority has a certification program, and it's a very good resource when you're looking for quality brands.
Okay. So I guess really the question is, how do you know what you're getting? We're seeing signs everywhere. I drive down the street and I see CBD sold here at gas stations and video stores. And I mean, how do you know?
Third-party lab results.
Okay.
All the way.
Okay. Interesting. What about risks? Are you aware of any risks that are involved?
Other than not paying attention to what you're getting, if you have a job that requires drug testing, I haven't heard of any.
Okay. Through your customers, you haven't heard anybody come back and say, I've had this happen? Or
correct.
Okay. All right. We do need to take a break. Bonnie Hastings, co-owner of Wassa Wellness Center, in the studio today as we discuss CBD, its uses, its popularity, and the ways in which it is regulated. When we return, Republican State Representative Patrick Snyder from Schofield, who co-authored the state's Right to Try bill, we'll talk about the bill's connection to CBD, the effort by the state and federal authorities to improve regulation, and the connection to medical marijuana, that debate that's going on in Wisconsin. You can join the conversation, too, at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Bonnie Hastings, co-owner of Wausau Wellness Center, is in the studio today as we continue our discussion on CBD. We'd like to hear from you, too. The number to call, 800-780-9742. Earlier in the program, we heard comments from Republican State Senator Pat Teston on his personal use of CBD. Now we'd like to hear from State Representative Pat Snyder. Pat is a Republican from Schofield. He co-sponsored the state's Right to Try bill, and that was actually a bill that was signed into law last month. Here's what Pat Snyder had to say.
Well, it basically says that a terminally ill patient that have exhausted all of their other means of what they're trying to do medically to stop this terminal illness, they've reached everywhere. There's nowhere else to go, but they drug companies do have experimental drugs out on the marketplace, and this just allows them a chance to, instead of having the doctor or someone be the middle person, this allows the patient to contact the drug company and say, I would like to, you know, to try this. Before, sometimes drug companies would say, well, you're a little farther than our test group we're looking at, so we'll pass on you, or they just, feel that they wouldn't get the right results. Now it's just, what do you have to lose? And nationally, President Trump signed in the federal Right to Try as well. I haven't had local constituents in the 85th come back to me yet and said they've tried this, but hopefully it will allow them, if they do have lost all hope. And it's up to the families too. You know, sometimes people, they battle like a cancer, and they come to the point where they just accept and move forward, that's good. But then there's others that just want to keep going. And sometimes we found in the past these would be the ones that would go to foreign countries, that would go and spend a lot of money. And this allows them now to be able to stay here and be able to get that medical, I guess you could say, experimentation brought to them here. So all in all, it's not something that people are flocking to, but at least it gives folks a chance, if they want to be able to take one more step that maybe wasn't there in the conventional medical side that they've been trying to.
And CBD is a part of that.
Right. CBD was – and that kind of came a little bit before Representative Krug, and he had legislation that came through that made CBD oil, especially with the kids. I was on the Children's and Families when we heard the CBD oil coming in and the seizures that some of these young kids were having. And, you know, and you take it on to adults as well, and how just a little CBD oil would alleviate a lot of these seizures that these young kids would be having. And that's amazing. And, you know, it's right now it's like 0.003 or 3% of THC. That's the level right now. And I've learned a lot about it that I didn't know, that the good CBD oil actually comes from the hemp plant and not the marijuana plant. That's the one that had the higher levels THC. I've talked with folks that are actually getting in the business of this and getting some processing plants together in the state that actually say that they use the hemp plant, not the THC plant, because it's harder to extract the amount they need. But I've heard from people that have that use CBD that just swear by it. They say they feel better, aches and pains go away, energy levels. Sometimes people that have maybe a little bit of depression, things to that nature, they kind of have their moods pick up. It's something that, you know, I'm hearing from a lot of people that, you know, they've tried it and they like that idea. So, yeah, CBD oil is something new, and it's something that I see the FDA is getting involved in a little bit more. So, yeah.
Are you – this was a bipartisan bill, yes?
Yes.
Did you see a lot of support, widespread support across the aisle?
For CBD?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I don't even know the exact number of who might have voted against, if we had any, that tell you the truth. I know my right to try came through. I just had 13 dissents out of the 99 in that, and it wasn't that people shouldn't, but they think that the current model was okay, but only, you know, 4% of the people that were terminal were getting the experimental drug. So this made it 100% if you want. And the drug company still had the opportunity to say no, so it wasn't like something mandated. But, yeah, it was very bipartisan when it comes to this. You know, when you talk about health, a lot of times it is bipartisan. Sometimes politics gets into that, but when you bring kids into the thing, it seems like the R's and the D's go away.
So you mentioned the FDA in May. There was a hearing, 10 hours of testimony on CBD, pretty significant argument about how the FDA should regulate the CBD industry, which, as you know, is booming. Mm. Some people were demanding some strict oversight. Others, especially companies with a lot of money at stake, were lobbying for looser regulation. But the common theme that seemed to come out of all of this is that the FDA really just needs to figure this out. Figure out the rules sooner rather than later. So what do you think needs to happen on the federal or state level to make sure these products are safe?
Yeah, I think that a lot of times the normal FDA, you know, guidelines are good. And like you, Shireen, it seems like everywhere you see, I mean, I see a family video now saying they have CBD oil. And I'm thinking, boy, do they really know, you know, what the CBD oil, if someone comes in and says they have a symptom of something, can someone in a convenience store or a video type store actually know what to tell the person about CBD, how much to take, the way to take it? Those would be my concerns, that I want to protect the consumer to make sure that they, you know, are getting the right stuff, because what I understand is it's not cheap. And is there a way to make sure that it's properly set? You know, I don't want sometimes people, you know, will get something they think it's a vitamin and it's a sugar pill, you know, because it's type of a scam. And that's the thing, just to protect the consumer and to down the line maybe do more research on this, and I think it's being done to make sure that down the road some of the side effects that we don't maybe see now what might happen. But I think so far I've most of the people that have taken it has, at least to me, have said it's been a positive impact. But again, I just would want to protect the consumer from making sure they're getting the right CBD, and not not someone that just wants to say they have CBD to make some quick money.
I have to ask you too: is there any relationship at all between the popularity of CBD and the medical marijuana debate that is ongoing in Wisconsin?
You could say that one kind of pulls the other one along. The CBD kind of helped pull the medical marijuana along. I've had a lot of constituents that have the need for the medical marijuana. I know that some on the AODA side say, well, there already is, the medical marijuana if they get it prescribed. But I do think it's a debate that we'll take up. And when it comes to somebody's health, getting relief of pain and things to that nature, I think you'll see a lot more bipartisanship toward this and try to get something like that. And then a lot of times some of the people that are worried about the medical marijuana say it's like it, CBD pulls medical marijuana pulls recreational. And, some of the reports that are coming out now on the recreational side health-wise, are a little bit need to be looked at a little longer. But I think the medical marijuana will be addressed. I know the speaker said that he would look into it in the fall, and I've talked to a few of the judges up here in Marathon County and some of the others that think it's coming. So,
All right. Thank you so much for weighing in. I
appreciate
it.
Well, thank you, Shireen.
That's Pat Snyder, the Republican state representative from Schofield, as we continue our discussion on CBD. You can join the conversation, too, if you've had an experience with CBD or you have a question. Call 800-780-9742. We're speaking with Bonnie Hastings from Wausau Wellness Center. Bonnie, you heard Representative Snyder's comments. We talked a little bit about regulation. Now, I have to tell you, I talked to to a farmer, Chris Padulo. I spoke with him. He started growing hemp last year. He sent samples to four different labs, and he got vastly different results. One lab said the plant he sent in contained 8% CBD. Another said 16%. Two others said it landed somewhere in the middle. I thought that was interesting. How can we be sure that those discrepancies don't exist? And like, is there a label that we can be looking at? I mean, what should consumers know?
Well, like I said, the U.S. Hemp Authority has a lot of rigorous hoops to jump through to be certified. They're a relatively new body, but you can go to ushempauthority.org and look at what brands are supposed to go through and how they're tested and verified. That would be your safest bet.
Okay, so that's the best advice you can give
and
to
then,
consumers.
Yeah, and make sure that you're supplement doesn't have any junk, like artificial colors, flavors, preservatives. It took us a long time before we could find a brand of gummies to carry for people that didn't have junk. So we just didn't carry it until we found one.
Can you tell by looking at the label? If I go into your store, can I tell by looking at the label what's in it? Should that all be listed?
That should be listed. But some stores, I've had people bring us in stuff and ask if we can get stuff, and it's FD&C colors, mm-hmm. sugar or sucralose, mm-hmm. all kinds of artificial stuff, which to me seems counterintuitive to why you're taking it.
Okay. Last year, a U.S. Food and Drug Administration advisory panel unanimously recommended approval of a CBD medication to treat two rare forms of childhood epilepsy. Are there any other proven uses of CBD that you're aware of? I know that you're not a medical doctor, but in your work, have you come across any that you have seen evidence that, yes, this works for this product?
Well, like I said, we have a lot of repeat customers, mm-hmm. and it isn't cheap. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's been helping people, mm-hmm. according to them. Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about risks. In an earlier Wisconsin Public Radio interview, Mayo Clinic Research Director Dr. Brent Bauer had this to say.
You know, I like the whole concept of dietary supplements. You know, the idea that there's been things in our culture, in our historical healthcare, herbs like ginseng, that have been used successfully by patients or by individuals. And so I like the idea of having our populace having access to those things that don't have to go through the rigorous process of becoming a drug with all the associated costs and regulations. And so I'm very much in favor of having access to these things. What I need, though, as a physician is to make sure I have all the information I need so that patients can make informed decisions. And that just means we really need larger trials, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of patients, some taking CBD, some taking placebo, comparing the outcomes, and where it's positive and safe, then I think we can advocate and be very grateful then that there'll be something on the market that can help those patients who fit those criteria.
That was Mayo Clinic Research Director Dr. Brent Bauer on CBD and what he would like to see happen in the future to ensure that it is safe for everyone. Do you have clients who ask about risks?
All the time.
Okay. What do you tell them?
We advocate that they do their research. We try to guide them towards the proper channels so they can do research on their own. We do have informational pamphlets that help with that, mm-hmm. but we definitely encourage and try to help customers learn how to educate themselves.
Okay, so it sounds like research is really the key.
Very important.
That's what you're recommending.
Absolutely.
Okay. What about pregnant women and children? Is that something? I mean, have you dealt with that at all in your business? Have you had pregnant women or children who wanted to try it?
I've had people purchase it for their children.
You have, okay, and their animals,
yes.
And their animals. I have a dog with serious anxiety, and it's something that we have talked about. And I'm just really curious what kind of results that people are reporting to you.
I've heard good feedback.
You have, okay, well. There is some pushback from the law enforcement community on CBD, which we'll hear about later in the program. Did you experience any of that when you began selling CBD products? Was there any pushback? Have you seen any kind of negative reaction?
We've heard of negative reactions. I believe that some stores in Rhinelander and Merrill had their products confiscated. However, when that happened, we only carried – we did not carry anything that claimed to be CBD, just the full spectrum hemp extract.
Okay.
So as long as it didn't say CBD on the label,
mm-hmm.
even though full spectrum hemp extract contains CBD, that would not have applied in that situation.
I see. What about the idea that CBD is a precursor to medical marijuana? We hear that from people. It's a slippery slope. I mean, you know, we hear that from critics who say, you make this legal, then you're going to make that legal. He brought that up Pat Snyder brought that up in his interview. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think that hemp, which is not marijuana, has been very useful for a lot of people. And not everybody has access to doctors. So being able to buy quality products over the counter after doing your own research, I think, is important for people. I don't necessarily think one equals the other.
Okay. One question that came up in our studio as we were researching the show, is there any amount of CBD that can make you high? If you took a whole bunch of it, would you get high?
No.
No?
No.
It just
don't think you could afford it even if that were the case, but it's non-psychoactive. Hemp is non-psychoactive.
Okay. So even if I took a whole bottle of CBD oil,
you'd probably be sick from all the oil in it.
Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't get a high.
No.
Okay. That's interesting. I mean, it's one of those things. How does it really work? I mean, is there at any level at which you can feel that kind of feeling? And how do you know how much is safe to take? How much to take for whatever condition you're taking it for?
We recommend people start out at a low dose.
Okay.
Or, you know, sometimes possibly a medium dose and figure out what's right for them.
All right. One final question. If someone is thinking about trying CBD for the first time, what do you suggest they do?
research. They do research. There are little sample packets available that you could purchase and experiment with what dose might be appropriate for you to buy. But and then make sure that what you're buying is quality and not full of junk.
Okay. Bonnie Hastings from Wausau Wellness Center, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Route 51. We're going to continue our discussion on the increasing popularity and availability of CBD in Wisconsin. When we return, Melissa Moore will join us for a public health perspective on the issue. Melissa is the Alcohol and Other Drugs Partnership Coordinator for Marathon County's Drug-Free Communities Program. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward, continuing our discussion on CBD and its popularity in central and northern Wisconsin. Joining us now is Melissa Moore. She is the Alcohol and Other Drugs Partnership Coordinator for Marathon County's Drug-Free Communities Program. And in the interest of full disclosure, I must tell you I am also a member of the Marathon County AOD Partnership Board. We'd like to hear from you, too. The number to call, 800-780-9742. Melissa, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate having you here. I'd like you to explain your role with the Marathon County's AOD Partnership and the Marathon County Health Department. How does that all work?
Sure, sure. So since January of 2010, I have served with a couple different titles, but essentially I lead substance abuse efforts in the county. I lead the prevention efforts both for the Marathon County Health Department as well as provide staff support for the Marathon County AOD Partnership Council, which is a local substance abuse initiative. It's a local nonprofit that's been around for decades. So it's really been an exciting opportunity to keep prevention in the forefront when we talk so much about substance use in the community.
So from a community perspective, you work in prevention. You've been following this emerging popularity of CBD quite closely.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think when it comes down to anytime that new products come on the market, from new vape devices to CBD, it's something that we do need to pay attention to, because with its growing popularity, it's not just growing amongst legal-aged adults for purchasing different types of products, but it's with our youth as well. So the more that we talk about these products in the community, more that they're available, the more people are seeing banners and signs outside of businesses, more questions are being asked. So we just want to make sure we're trying to get all the information that we can out to the community as soon as we have it.
Okay. We talked earlier in the program about the federal farm bill that removed CBD from the federal list of controlled substances. What kind of effect did that have here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think in the state of Wisconsin, we've been able to grow industrial hemp since 2014. But it really did boom after the federal farm bill went into place. It really kind of opened the door for hemp-derived CBD products to be available in the community. So with that, you know, there's a huge money market for it in our local health food stores, in our video outlets. You know, private citizens are becoming sales reps for growers. It's just something that really has exploded.
Absolutely. One thing I wanted to touch on with you is what are you hearing from the law enforcement partners in the AOD partnership about CBD?
So one of my roles is really just to connect with the community around these different issues. And in talking with law enforcement or our legal system, really the complexity that has come out of these CBD products that are derived from hemp is that it is made from the same plant. Hemp and marijuana are derived from the cannabis plant. It just really depends on how it's bred, how it's made, as to how much, if any, CBD or THC, which is the psychoactive chemical in marijuana, is in the plant itself. So as those things are being produced and being sold here locally, there's really no truth in labeling when it comes to these products that have come onto the market, that some of them may contain more than what's allowed through that federal legislation, so can't contain more than 0.3% THC. But that's something that's really hard to measure. So when you have local law enforcement that is coming upon these different products, their canine officers, their drug dogs are hitting on these products as they would on marijuana. It's really hard to decide really which is which. And when currently to my knowledge, there's still only one state lab in the, or one lab in this entire state that can test down to that level of 0.3%. It does make it very hard to make sure that we don't have illegal products that are kind of in mainstream in our communities.
So is that a bit of a regulatory issue? I mean, the Food and Drug Administration, excuse me, doesn't regulate supplements, you know, and that is kind of where CBD falls at this point. So, I mean, do you think some of the concern about CBD could be mitigated through better regulation on the state level, the federal level? What would that take?
Well, and I think if people are looking at kind of where the FDA is at, they can go to FDA.gov. They actually have a whole consumer updates page on CBD products. Essentially, you know, what the FDA is warning companies, because there's nothing that's stopping these new products from coming on the market. And that's one thing that I don't know if the general public really understands, is that that's why we have edibles. That's why we have CBD honey. That's why we have CBD coffee. That's why we have CBD beverages, you know, CBD infused, you name it, lotions and balms and so on. You know, that's one thing that I don't think the general public knows, that the FDA can't stop those from coming on the market. But if they say that there's health claims, like, you know, this is something that'll help with your PTSD or your anxiety, or if you have opiate withdrawal, this will help with that. That's where the FDA can step in and say, hey, company, you can't do that. You need to change your labels and so on. So they've actually warned CBD companies to not label themselves as supplements, to not use CBD as ingredients in food or beverages. But it's really hard to enforce that, you know, on a federal level with a product that, you know, when you look at just the boom that it's had, science is just still trying to catch up.
So there have been some comparisons of CBD and other cannabis marketing to tobacco companies. Can you expand on that a bit?
Sure, absolutely. You know, when it comes to when you kind of think back and you know, depending on your listeners' demographics here, you think back to how the tobacco companies were able to really – you know, promote themselves, you know, using health claims like, you know, menthol cigarettes will help with the sore throat. It will soothe your sore throat. It will soothe your cough. You know, the health claims, the techniques that are used to geared towards young users, very attractive packaging. You know, you look at price points, you look at where these products are being sold. You know, when you have somebody that's going in and maybe looking to, you know, purchase some items at a health food store, or looking at purchasing an item at a local video outlet, and they have CBD right in their face, it really does normalize the use of it. And in the end, there's just so much more that needs to be studied around the use of CBDs.
I did see a study where researchers took a variety of CBD products and tested them for the amount of CBD and THC and in them. Mm-hmm. And the results varied widely. I mean, it was quite eye-opening. And this was a Dutch study that I read about. But, I mean, is that still an issue here?
Absolutely. You know, I think one thing when we talk about CBDs, a lot of the times people are thinking back to stories that have come out over the last number of years about children with specific seizure disorders. There's a big push to move an FDA-approved CBD product onto the market called Epidiolex. And if you read more about that product, they literally have to grow each plant in its own environmental system to reduce contaminants. The CBD that's available in our community is not that medication. So if people are self-medicating with these products, thinking that this is going to help them for a variety of health reasons without consulting with their physician first, it could have some ill effects, because in that CBD, when that Epidiolex was moving through the process, they did find that the use of CBD over the long term did have ill effects on the liver, for example. So even in those controlled studies, we saw that there were some negative outcomes. But these products not being regulated, not being tested, you know, with regularly on a consistent basis, that you really don't know what kind of ill effects it may have. You don't know how much you should have a day. You don't know what that cumulative effect is over time. You know, if you're chronically ill, or you're elderly, or if you're giving it to your children or pets, or you're pregnant. You know, there's a lot of kind of claims that the companies are putting out there. And again, you know, if somebody's putting this product out there, they're looking to make money. So when there's really no science to back up if these are used for certain things, if it has these different effects, you know, it is kind of a buyer beware.
So from a community health standpoint, are there known side effects that are on the health department's radar? Are there those kinds of things that have impacted your opinion on this, or?
Well, I think it really comes down to the variety of products that are out there, the variety of ways that you can ingest this into your body. It is going to hit your cannabinoid system in your brain. And I am not going to pretend I'm a neuroscientist or anything like that. But when it comes to cannabinoids, it includes the CBD, which is not intended or does not show to give a high, and the THC, which is the substance in the marijuana plant or the cannabis plant, excuse me, that does lead to that high. That we just really don't know, because of the way those products are stored in our body, they're stored on a cumulative effect. So, you know, if you drink a beer, for a woman, it may take 2 hours to work that through your system. For a male, an hour. We don't know how long these products can stay in your system. So while you may not have any sort of high from it, you may test positive in your UAs just from putting lotions that say it doesn't contain THC, excuse me, in these CBD products, and it may. Or it may contain higher levels than it's supposed to. So it really does, you know, depend on, you know, it's, there's really no way to know what it is that you're getting at this point in time.
And you were talking about those positive UAs. I mean, what are some of the consequences of that? I mean, from an employment standpoint, have you seen examples of that, mm-hmm. where people have tested positive when they had CBD and not THC?
Well, and I think what it is, when we look at the restricted substances that are in a lot of our workforce rules, THC is what's specifically listed. So this could be where somebody may, you know, go into it believing that the CBD containing products that they're ingesting contain the allowed amount, up to the allowed amount, or no THC, and they may be getting THC and not knowing it. So they may be inadvertently storing THC in their fat cells. So it is something that is a concern. There's businesses that are talking about this, because at this point in the state of Wisconsin, it is still illegal to use THC.
Okay.
Right? I mean, THC is still considered a controlled substance. Hemp is allowed to be grown and manufactured up to 0.3% THC. There's some different bills that are being floated out as to how that can look. But, you know, as it is right now, the CBD-containing products that are being sold widely in our community are being sold unregulated, are being sold and labeled and packaged and promoted in a way that is not regulated by any entity on a you know, governmental level. And it is something that, you know, again, you just got to really take, you know, is this risk going to outweigh the benefits? Because I don't know of any other supplement type of product that has the potential to contain a controlled substance like THC.
You're listening to Route 51 and Melissa Moore, who is the Alcohol and Other Drugs Partnership Coordinator for Marathon County's Drug-Free Communities Program. You also work closely with the Marathon County Health Department. So I guess it's legal to sell these products, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing. You know, when it comes to the FDA, they give guidelines on you know, how it can be sold, where it can be sold, how it can be transported. You know, it's still legal to transport THC across state lines on a federal level, for example. To move these from one state to another, you could potentially be breaking the law. You know, when it comes on how it's labeled, you know, putting labels on there that's, you know, saying there's health claims to it, or in the promotional item saying there's health claims to it, that could potentially also get you in trouble with the FDA, because at this point, again, it's unregulated by the FDA, and those false health claims could get you in trouble. So it's still a topic of discussion on a national level. States are trying to figure it out to make sure it's consistent, but it's amazing how this industry has grown to billions of dollars within less than a year.
It certainly is more visible than we've ever seen. I drive down the street and I see that it's available at gas stations and video stores, that's just something we didn't see a year ago.
No, absolutely not. And this is just, again, it's a big moneymaker. So when I've had people come to me and be like, oh, I heard it was for really good for, you know, pain management and helps with sleep and helps with anxiety and so on, I ask them, because where did you hear that information? Well, the package says so. Okay, let's ask who's selling. You know, this is a money market. People are looking to sell these products. So do your homework. Talk to your healthcare provider. If you're thinking about giving this to your furry friends, talk to your veterinarian, because it's really important that people understand that we don't know the long-term implications of this product. And again, you know, any CBD containing product that is derived from the cannabis plant does have the potential to contain THC, which is still a federally illegal substance.
In May, there was a public hearing, 10 hours of testimony in an FDA hearing on the subject. Hemp growers, startup businesses, academic researchers, consumer advocates, they were all arguing about how the FDA should regulate this industry. Some were demanding strict oversight. Others, especially companies with millions of dollars at stake, of course, lobbied for looser regulation. The common theme, though, I would say, is that the FDA needs to figure out some rules sooner rather than later. What would you like to see happen?
You know, I think when it comes right down to it, you know, there's a lot of people that are using this with the hopes that it's going to improve health. And as a person that's concerned about health and concerned about prevention in our community, you know, there's been a lot of news around things like vaping. You know, when I see CBD products that are linked to different vaping products in our community, when I see, you know, CBD being infused into different food and beverages in the community, there's a lot of things that we know that we don't know about this product. And I think that there is a need for something to happen sooner than later, because as these products continue to come on the market, again, the FDA cannot stop products from coming onto the market. They do respond, though, when there's complaints. I think we need to know what are the long-term ill effects that this could potentially have for folks that are just looking for a way to feel better.
Is science catching up? I mean, is this happening?
You know, I think when it comes down to it, doing CBD specific products, the best data that we have right now is what was found in the Epidiolex trials. Again, that's the only FDA-approved medication that is a CBD-contained medication. There are medications that are derived from the cannabis plant, that, like Marinol, for example, that have been used for years. Decades, actually. But when it comes to CBD specifically and the impacts on the body, we have to look at the studies that have come through when Epidiolex was approved last fall.
A lot of people have been asking me as I prepared for this program this week. One of the questions that comes up is, like, what happens if you use multiple CBD products in a day? I mean, how much is too much? How much is enough? And can you ever get a high from it? Like, I mean, is there a point where you would ever get a high? Do you know?
You know, and I think that's the thing, is that we just don't know. We don't know, like, if somebody's using a CBD-containing lotion and then also putting a CBD-containing honey in their tea, and then they have a CBD-infused kombucha or something like that. Like, we don't know how those things can add up. And again, from one product to the next, from one of the same product, from one bottle to the next, you don't know exactly what you're getting. So that's one of those things where, again, you know, it's kind of buyer beware, because even if you talk to the person, you know, they swear this is how it's grown and packaged and processed, you know, there is still that potential for someone inadvertently ingesting THC. And then there's plenty that I think would maybe look at this opportunity to utilize these CBD products that are on the market to infuse THC into the market. So you never really know. It doesn't really matter where you're buying these products. You still don't know what you're getting.
So finally, I guess I would ask you then, if someone's thinking of trying CBD products for themselves, maybe it's the first time they want to try it, see if it does work for that anxiety, for that social awkwardness or the insomnia, pain. What would you say? What's your best advice?
You know, I think really for anybody that's looking at adding any sort of medication, supplement, any sort of thing, changes to their diet, that they definitely consult with their healthcare provider on what the potential negative consequence could be, maybe what the positives can be. And again, a lot of people are talking about using these for their pets. Talk to the veterinarian about different products that are out there. You know, people may have their opinion. People may do recommendations. But in the end, it's about that individual, if they're choosing to make that choice. Do your research. Look into the companies. But recognize, again, that there is no regulation on these products. So even if it says one thing, that doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
That's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Siewert. I'd like to thank our guest, Bonnie Hastings, co-owner of Wausau Wellness Center, Wisconsin Republican Representative Pat Snyder, and Marathon County Alcohol and Other Drugs Partnership Coordinator Melissa Moore. You also heard comments today from Republican State Senator Pat Testin and Dr. Brent Bauer, Director of Mayo Clinic Research. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Our on-air producer today is Joy Rotchkramer. Thanks to Don Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can also hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, we'll host a discussion on vaccinations, including a proposal to require all students to be vaccinated against meningitis by the time they reach seventh grade. Until then, we're heading out of town.